In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
My dearly beloved in Christ, it's recorded in the history of St. Francis of Assisi that one day he took the book of sacred scripture in his hands and prayed to the Holy Ghost to point out to him where, in all its pages, he might best learn the love of God. Not only the extent of God's love for man, but more particularly how he himself might increase his own love for God. The holy man then opened the sacred volume three times. In each occasion, his eyes fell upon the narrative of our Lord's sacred passion. The passion is the most moving of all subjects of human thought. It speaks not only to our mind and intellect, but also to our heart and senses. The passion of Christ is the master key to the heart of God, and it's God's own master key to every human heart. My dearly beloved in Christ, it's by contemplating the sufferings of our Lord that we come to realize what he has done for us and how much we owe him. Nothing has ever been purchased at so dear a cost as our very souls, which have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. By your presence here tonight, you show that you are aware of this. And if you've begun your Lent in a most virtuous and meritorious way, you're showing Christ your gratitude and compassion and returning love for love. The words of the prophet Isaiah should spur us on to continue this Lent in the practice of love and self-denial. For they echo the words of Christ, "Return to me, for I have redeemed thee." And in Proverbs 23:26, we hear the words, "My child, give me thy heart." To be a true follower of Christ, we must not only adore him, believe his doctrines, follow his laws, and reverence his mysteries. We must also imitate his virtues of charity, humility, patience, obedience, and the rest that shine forth so brilliantly in the sacred passion. There's no crown without the cross. The only path that leads to heaven goes through Calvary. Not only will our love for God motivate us to enter upon the road of penance this Lent, but also the hope of our future reward will encourage and sustain us in the practice of self-denial. My dearly beloved in Christ, St. Augustine teaches, heavy work it is to keep at it, continually mortifying and curbing our will. But look at the prize and reward to be given for it, and you will see that it's all very little in comparison. Hope of reward lightens the stress of toil. Much is done in this world for earthly rewards. Soldiers risk wounds and death in order to achieve a victory. Executives and laborers work long hours for financial gain. Athletes willingly endure rigorous training and risk serious injury to become champions. St. Paul says, "They indeed do all this for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable." My dearly beloved in Christ, there's absolutely no comparison between the temporary reward for these worldly pursuits and the everlasting reward in heaven promised to the virtuous. If they expose themselves to such labors and hardships for a perishable crown and reward which lasts for only a short time, how very much more effort should we expend for a treasure, for happiness that will last forever? What we do as penance here on earth is nothing in comparison with what we hope to get for it in eternity. St. Basil tells us that the remembrance of our future reward will encourage us to continue to work hard to sanctify our mortal soul. For he says, "Ever remember the great glory and reward that you hope for, thereby to encourage yourself to labor and to virtue." My dearly beloved in Christ, St. Anthony Abbot realized this and encouraged his disciples to persevere in the continued rigors of the spiritual life by saying, "In this life, the dealings and contracts of men are equal on both sides. One gives as much as he receives. What is sold is worth the price paid for it. But on our part, the promise of life and glory everlasting is bought at a very low price. He explains this by saying, the life of man is commonly some 70 or 80 years. If he goes beyond that, it's usually filled with pain, affliction, and infirmity. If we live such a life in the service of God, once we die, we're not rewarded in eternity with an equal number of years of happiness with God, as the years we were loyal to him on earth. On the contrary, our 70, 80, 90 years of serving God while on earth will be rewarded with an eternity of happiness with him. 90 years, if we're fortunate, in exchange for years of happiness without end, is a fabulous return. We live in an economic system based on investments and returns. Sadly, we've seen the uncertainty and vulnerability of such a system. Yet we would be ecstatic if our bank account would give us a 10 to 15% return on our money. If we apply such logic to our spiritual life, we'd be constantly putting more and more into our spiritual bank account, for the return is secure and incalculable. My dearly beloved in Christ, thus our penances, hardships, sorrows, and crosses in this life are in reality the suffering of a moment, which in turn reap a joy and glory that will have no end. In order to do our very best this Lent, let us therefore keep before our eyes the terrible sufferings Christ endured in his passion, for this will give us hope and strength. In the Chronicles of the Order of St. Francis, we read how a very rich man, reared in honor and comfort, entered the order. And as soon as the devil saw his change of life, he assailed him with representations of the austerity of the order. How instead of delicacies, good food, and soft bed that he was used to, he found beans, a coarse tunic, straw for bedding, strict poverty instead of riches. He felt it much, and as the devil put before him the hardness of these things, he pressed him terribly with instigations of how he should leave and return to the world. The temptation came to be so unbearable that the man determined to leave the order. In this resolve, he passed through the chapter room, and falling on his knees before the figure of our crucified Lord, he commended himself to his mercy. Being transported out of himself, he was caught up in spirit, and there appeared to him our Lord and his glorious mother, and they asked him why he was going. With great reverence, he replied, "Lord, I was reared in the world in much comfort, and I cannot stand the austerity of this religious order, especially in the food and dress." The Lord raised his right arm and showed him the wound in his side, running with blood, and said to him, "Stretch out your arm and put your hand here and bathe it in the blood of my side. And when there comes into your mind any rigor or austerity, moisten it with my precious blood, and everything, difficult though it may be, will become easy and sweet." The novice did what the Lord told him, and for every temptation that occurred to him, he called to mind the passion of Christ. And at once everything was changed into great sweetness and delight. May our dear Lord bless you all and give you the grace to continue your Lent in the spirit of love and sacrifice you have shown tonight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.